You're with Cape Talk.
You're with Cape Talk.
All right, well, as I've mentioned many times before on the show, I've struggled with eczema my entire life. So I was really intrigued last month to be able to watch a presentation made to the Allergy Foundation of South Africa about the role that biologics can play in treating specifically atopic dermatitis. And an article in the SA Medical Journal recently referred to biologics as superheroes in autoimmune warfare. I've invited the speaker from that presentation to the Allergy Foundation to join us today to talk a little bit more about atopic dermatitis and specifically about this development of being able to use biologics to treat some patients. Her name is Dr. Sarita Kannenberg. She's a dermatologist in the northern suburbs of Cape Town, also affiliated to the University of Stellenbosch, and she has a particular interest in caring for patients with atopic eczema. Sarita, it's wonderful to have you with us. Thank you for joining us today.
Hello, goodbye, and thank you for the opportunity, and hello to the listeners as well.
It's a pleasure to have you with us. Look, before we talk about advances in treatment, I think it's probably important just to talk a little bit about the condition itself being treated. Won't you explain for those who don't know what atopic dermatitis is and where it sits within the concept of eczema?
Thank you very much for that. And it's really wonderful to have this opportunity to spread awareness. And as you said, you know, you wanted to spread awareness as well. Of this, it's a very misunderstood condition. So if we look at the name atopic dermatitis, that's the scientific term that as scientists, so as clinicians, as doctors would generally use to refer to the condition. But really, it is exactly the same as atopic eczema. So okay. Atopic dermatitis is the same as atopic eczema is the same as eczema. So laymen, so in general community, most patients will refer to it as eczema. Mm-hmm. And I also, when I discuss with my patients, you know, this word atopic dermatitis, it just kind of doesn't fall a roll off the tongue. So eczema rolls off the tongue a little bit easier. Okay. So I use that to discuss the condition. So for simplicity, I will refer to eczema now.
Sure.
It's a chronic condition, and that's something that unfortunately has been very misunderstood. So really, you can compare it to having something like diabetes, something like hypertension. So it's a chronic condition that requires lifelong management, actually. Some people are really lucky and they outgrow it, but the majority of people actually don't. And even if they do outgrow it, it pops up at a later stage when you go through a stressful phase in your life, for example, your hands get eczema or your eyelids get eczema, for example. It has a genetic background, and that I also, my patients always tell me that, but no one in my family has a doctor. But it's actually a whole group of conditions that get inherited together. So it's allergic rhinitis, which is hay fever, allergic conjunctivitis, so itchy eyes, change of season, and asthma, and sometimes even food allergies. A very, very itchy condition, and it's characterized by a very dry skin and red scaly areas. Sometimes it's very localized. So the typical, in young children, you often get it in the anterior, so in the front aspects of your elbows, for example.
Yeah.
So that's a typical area where you would see it in children, actually. Sometimes in adults as well. But unfortunately, there's a very small percentage of people that will have it very widespread. And those are really the cases where we're probably going to, or we will be using something like a biologic if we can manage to get access to it. So really, it's an overactive immune system and a very dry skin. Those are the two main issues here.
Okay, thank you. And just before we get to the treatment, I want to make the point about the impact on quality of life. It's one thing to say it's itchy and it's dry skin and it can be unsightly to look at. But as somebody who's lived with this condition my whole life, I know the impact is beyond that. Sarita, for one thing, the impact on quality of sleep can be absolutely massive.
Yes, sleep and itch, those two are just, it's the biggest problem. And people, unfortunately, even sometimes I catch one of my junior doctors that would say, oh, no, I just saw an eczema case. It was just an eczema case. And I get so upset when they say that, because eczema is an absolutely devastating condition for some people. The vast majority of people, as I said, will have it only in isolated little spots. And that will be reasonably easy to manage. But of course, the cases that get to the dermatologist or the allergist, for example, those are the very severe cases. So those are the cases. And I'm really happy to be spreading awareness of that.
Absolutely. I am too. Thank you for doing so. Now, let's talk about this new weapon in the arsenal, the biologic. And it's a class of drugs that's relatively new. A lot of people don't even know what they are. Can you give us a brief overview in layman's terms of what biologics generally are? And then we'll talk about their specific application to eczema.
Yes. So the biologics, we just also have to take one little step back. I know we want to talk about the biologics, but we have to remember that the vast majority of patients, so more than 90% of cases, won't even need to get to that. Yeah. They will be controlled with the basic measures, staying away from the bad stuff for the skin and doing the good stuff for the skin. But the biologics is actually fascinating, reasonably new, I suppose, if we compare it to medications like topical steroids. It's been in use in psoriasis, for example, for about 15 years.
Okay.
So it's about 15, 20 years that it's actually been around. It's been used in many other conditions as well, rheumatoid arthritis, Crohn's disease, those type of conditions. But so biologic is just a very special new class of medication that we have that has a very select place where it works in the immune system and thereby inactivates or controls the disease. That is the really, so it's a very targeted treatment.
So very, very focused. Okay, which means that then hopefully it goes right to the immediate cause or place it needs to deal with rather than, throwing everything at the whole body.
Absolutely, yes. So, and I always say, we're throwing the kitchen sink at it. But with biologics, we are targeting specific areas. And that means that we have less side effects.
Okay.
Less side effects compared to the older medications, which are still effective. The older medications are obviously still effective, and we still use it because they're generally cheaper. But it will have less side effects compared to those. Yes.
Can you give us some examples? I mean, I know, for example, topical steroid use. You've got to be so careful because you do get thinning of the skin. It's not something you want to use indefinitely at high dosages. Sarita, what are some of the side effects that might be eliminated if you are able to use biologics instead?
Yes, so some of the ones that we have for the more targeted ones, the older biologics were a little bit also kind of a big gun shooting the whole immune system down. But the newer ones that we have now, for example, the particular one that's been registered in South Africa for atopic eczema, dupilumab, has the one side effect that it has is that it can, in some cases, very, very small amount of cases, it can exacerbate eczema on the face, for example.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Yes. But although saying that, the vast majority of patients that they described in the studies didn't need to stop the dupilumab, so they could still treat through. But it can, in some cases, no one really knows why. That'll become more, kind of, we will obviously get to the bottom of that. My suspicion is that it has something to do with the microbiome, that the microbiome on the face is different.
Okay.
Yes. So, but that is the other medication that's also actually been registered in South Africa over the last 6 to 8 weeks are actually, it's actually called upadacitinib. It's actually been available for rheumatoid arthritis for a very long time, but it's now been registered for atopic dermatitis as well.
Okay.
And that's also a very novel treatment, but it's a different class of medication. So we call it small molecules rather than giving it the name of biologics. So anyway, yeah.
Okay. Well, just for those who've come in late to the conversation, my guest, who's doing such a good job of explaining quite technical medical things in good layman's terms, is Dr. Sarita Kannenberg, who is a dermatologist practicing in the northern suburbs, affiliated to the University of Stellenbosch as well. And we're talking about eczema, atopic dermatitis, and particularly about the role of biologics in treating it. Sarita emphasizing that it's only a small minority of patients who are likely to have severe enough eczema to be considered for the use of biologics. You also mentioned the question of access. Now, Sarita, I think the one thing that probably most people know if they've heard the term biologics is that they're not easy to get hold of and they're very, very expensive. Does that apply to the ones used for eczema as well?
Absolutely, unfortunately. In fact, the ones, the older ones, the psoriasis ones, for example, that has been around for a long time, those ones are becoming cheaper and cheaper because they are new generic ones being becoming available, you know, biosimilars, we call it. But for atopic dermatitis, because it is so new, at long last, people are actually paying attention to atopic dermatitis, doing research into it, developing new medications. But these medications, unfortunately, you know, being available for the last 5 years or so, they're still going to be very expensive. They obviously, as time goes by, things will get cheaper, but right now they're still very expensive.
Okay. Do medical aids cover them, Sarita?
Let's say the easy answer there is probably no.
Okay.
It's a big fight because atopic dermatitis, you know, most patients who have atopic dermatitis and are fortunate enough to have a good medical aid, unfortunately, they know that it's not a PMB. So it's not a preferred minimum benefit. So, so it's always a fight, unfortunately, with the medical, with the funders. I mean, probably, you know, most of myself and most of my colleagues spend about an hour a day writing special motivations for our patients. And then, you know, having to go back and having to go back and just trying to get it out of the medical aids. But unfortunately, yeah, so we're struggling with the funders.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Shannon, you earlier mentioned the concept of the microbiome on the face. Shannon has a question about the microbiome in the gut. She says, does the doctor think that gut health has anything to do with eczema or how much of an effect it might have on eczema?
There are many studies coming out showing that it actually does make a difference.
Okay.
But the problem is, of course, you know, we don't have isolated studies is not going to really change science on it. We will have to have quite a few and then do meta-analysis on that to decide whether it really plays a role.
Okay.
But you can think that this is, you are one being and everything talks to each other. You know, the microbiome in your sinuses, the microbiome in your lungs, the microbiome everywhere. What is it, 2.5 kilograms of you are bacteria. So everything talks to each other. So it's not, so, you know, you can imagine that it definitely plays a role.
Yeah. You mentioned how some of the older ones have been used to treat psoriasis for a long time. I just want to share a WhatsApp that's come in from somebody saying, I'm listening to this interview about biologics. We took the leap with my wife's psoriasis and eventually signed up for Tremfya. It worked within 4 weeks and my wife is completely clear, but it is 30,000 rand a pop. Wow.
Gosh.
Wow. Okay.
Yes. Yes, Tremfya is a very new one, so but very, very targeted and very safe. So, but it has the side effect. I always think of that as a side effect as well, of the cost.
Yes.
if you're self-funded, so many of our patients are actually self-funded, and if they are self-funded, then of course you don't have to fight with the medical aid, but it's still registered for moderate to severe atopic dermatitis, so moderate to severe eczema. So you want to still use it for those select cases, but if you're self-funded, as I said, it is easier.
Well, I will just say as an observation that anybody who has spent time on the dermatological ward at Groote Schuur, as I have done in my time, will just be so grateful to know that there are breakthroughs being made that can tackle these illnesses. Sarita, having seen, as you said, the devastation that they can cause, it's not to be taken lightly. Sarita, before we let you know, I mean, let's talk about side effects and safety. These are, as you've said, in some cases, relatively new drugs. Do we have enough years behind us of their use to be able to say confidently no long, mid to long term side effects or negative impact?
Yeah. Well, for dupilumab, for example, we have about 5 to 7 years at this stage.
Okay.
So, and it's a very, very safe drug. And even if you look at where it works in the immune system and how targeted it is, you can see that it's not going to have long term side effects. The upadacitinib, the other one is, you need to monitor that one. Dupilumab, you don't have to monitor that regularly. But upadacitinib, you do have to do monitoring. But also been around for up to 5 to 7 years. So this is about how long most of these medications have been around. And so far, so good.
Okay. The one thing we haven't mentioned is how they're actually taken. Sarita, it's not a simple case of popping a pill, is it?
Well, you'll be surprised, actually.
Okay.
Upadacitinib is actually a pill.
Okay.
Yes, so that's a pill once a day. So for those of you, of our listeners who are scared of needles, that's a very good option. Dupilumab is an injection that one needs to take every 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so good to know that before, and consider how you feel about needles and injecting yourself before you progress.
Also, you know, also something like if you travel regularly and you're not able to keep your product on ice, for example, then a tablet would be a better option. You know,
important
so
thing to
those
consider.
Type of possibilities. There are price differences between this. Thankfully, it's not as expensive as Tremfya.
Okay.
Dupilumab is about 23,000 a month if you're on maintenance. So first month is going to be a bit more. And upadacitinib is around 8,500, 9,000 grand a month.
Yeah.
And then obviously one needs the monitoring as well.
Okay. It's a lot to consider. And Sarita, you can understand why you said it's not to be used willy-nilly on any patient. It is only in cases of where it's really, really called for, where nothing else is working, that a severe case can be tackled through the use of biologics. And if you think that you might be one of those cases, then please have the conversation with your own dermatologist. Sarita, thanks. You've been so helpful in explaining everything in terms that the average layman can understand. We really appreciate your time today.
You're welcome. Maybe I can just say one last thing about the support group, to refer people to the support group as well. We have it's on Facebook and on Instagram, and we discuss these very important topics there. And we're there to support people because, you know, that they know they're not alone.
And is that the Allergy Foundation support group, Sarita, that we should be searching for?
Actually, there's one that's actually, it's part of the Allergy Foundation, but there's a separate one, actually, that's the that's a closed group. So I need to allow you in. And so please answer the questions if you really want to get in. And that's just to give safety to the patients who are there if they want to share their pathway.
Fair enough. Thank you so much, Dr. Sarita Kannenberg. We really appreciate your time this afternoon. The Allergy Foundation's website is allergyfoundation.co.za. They've also got a very active Facebook page, and start there. You can find your way to the specific support group where the topic we've been discussing today can be delved into in more detail. Thank you again to dermatologist Dr. Sarita Kannenberg.